All right, so we have this whole issue of domestic fair trade being brought into play to try to make life more tolerable, more fair for our immigrant farm workers, our farm workers who are immigrants. One of the things that they want to do, as you can understand, and, you know, just extending from what I was sharing previously, is that they want to make sure that they help the public now, not just the owners of the farms, but the public, not only choose food that is healthy and sustainable, but also just. You know how we have companies, investment companies that have some investment models where you can go ahead and say, hey, listen, I want to invest with a conscience. And so I don't want to invest in any companies that support this kind of behavior, that kind of behavior. And there are companies that you can find that can fit that investment model. Well, there are people who will say, well, listen, you know what? I don't want to buy eggs from companies that keep their chickens on lockdown 24/7. I want to buy eggs from companies that allow their chickens to roam about freely outdoors. Well, some of these issues that have to do with investing in companies, they might say, listen, I don't want to invest in any company that has to do with sweatshops. Why? Because they don't like the way the people are treated. And so the same way we can do that, some are saying, listen, focus not only on that which is healthy and sustainable when it comes to food, but also just. Look at the way the people who actually are on the front lines working with that food and making it available. Consider how they're treated. Rosalinda Gillen and several farm workers helped launch DFTA and develop the standards for domestic fair trade, which closely match standards in farm worker union contracts. Gillen says that she has no idea why companies like Chateau Sweet Michelle don't label their union food and beverage products. She thinks that it would add value in the way that fair trade labels do for coffee, tea, and other commodities. DFTA is mainly an advocacy and policy organization. NWALT recommends looking for food justice certification. And that's the phrase you're looking for, food justice certification. And you see that you hear the word justice in there, food justice certification and the Equitable Food Initiative label. Both of these certification programs adhere to DFTA standards. So again, if you want to look for those, food justice certification and Equitable Food Initiative. Those are the two labels. In the tomato fields of Immokalee, Florida, farm workers, most of them Latin American and Haitian, pick tomatoes. And I mean, they're out there in that hot sun, picking those tomatoes, many of which are destined for prominent fast food chains like Wendy's and Taco Bell. In 1993, realizing that their wage of 50 cents for each 32-pound bucket had not increased in 30 years, those farm workers started the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, CID, to collectively bargain for a raise and for an end to worker abuses on Florida farms. Ladies and gentlemen, we're upset about $7.25 per hour doing whatever labor we're doing. You're able to pick 32 pounds of tomatoes and you only get 50 cents for that bucket. 50 cents for a 32-pound bucket of tomatoes. 50 cents. And that had been the wage for 30 years. Come on now. Surely, more and more of us are getting to the point where we're no longer getting angry at the people who receive the low income for saying we've got to make more, we've got to be paid more. I tell you, it's so easy to distort our own thinking so that we get upset with the wrong people. I remember talking with someone years ago, maybe 20 years or so ago, and she brought up the fact that there were all of these contract disputes between athletes. Well, there weren't contract disputes. The athletes were just trying to bargain for more money. And this lady was expressing her disgruntlement about professional athletes asking for more money. When I pointed out to her that very often the athletes were following the lead of their agents who were pushing them to ask for more money, she wasn't upset with the agents at all. And I pointed out to her, the agents figures in their best interest that they're handling 6 athletes, 12 athletes, however many they're handling, however many they represent. Get those men and women to get paid as much as possible, because the more their athletes are paid, the more the athletes they represent are paid, the more the agents themselves are paid. And I was explaining to her that very often some of those athletes were following the lead of their agents. And the agents were the primary ones pushing for more and more money for the athletes, again, because the more the athletes were paid, the more the agents would be paid. She understood what I was saying, but did not care. She saw brown skin when she talked about athletes. She saw white skin when we talked about agents. And so for her, the real issue was not that professional athletes were asking for more money. More money wasn't really the main issue for her. That was not the issue. Now, that's what she talked about, but more money was not the real issue. And I'm going to tell you how we know. If more money had really been the request for more money, or the demand, however you want to look at it, for more money was the real issue that was bothering her, she would have been just as bothered about the agents trying to get more money as she was the athletes trying to get more money. But for her, it wasn't about more money. It was about people of color being paid more. We talked about what the owners make. She had no problem with that. It was just the athletes. They're the ones that bothered her. Justice, justice, justice. I want to encourage us, ladies and gentlemen, let's stop seeing color when low-income people, poor people start asking for more money, saying we need more money. Let's see humans who are telling the truth, who really do need more money.